celebrate. And that, of course, that we know that we as believers celebrate Christmas different from the way of the world. You know, and that's very important that we realize that and that we know that. If we're not careful, we can get caught up in such a spirit of the world that we can really miss the true meaning of Christmas and of giving God the glory that it rightfully belongs to Him. You know, so, you know, as I wrote in the pastor's letter that you've got, you know, may God give to us a jealous heart after the Lord. A jealous heart after the Lord. Because when you've got a jealous heart after God, you make critical decisions of putting Jesus first. And you will be empowered by the Spirit of the Lord, that the Spirit of God will give you strength to glorify the name of the Lord. Hey, praise God. It's a wonderful time of family and friends. It's a wonderful time of just celebration and celebrating each one and celebrating many different blessings and things at this time of year. But glory to God for the gift of Jesus. Right? The gift of Jesus. Before I start reading here, I remember, you know, my mother and dad, they made Christmas really wonderful. Matter of fact, they just spoiled us rotten. They really did. I grew up spoiled. I'm free to admit it. You know, it took me a long time to grow out of that. But my mother and dad grew up with nothing. And my mother, she was the youngest of seven. And her older brother and sister were the first ones in the family to ever buy her Christmas presents. They didn't ever have any Christmas presents before that. I mean, she got an apple. She would get an orange. That was a big deal, you know, or something else, maybe a candy cane stick. But that was really it, you know. They were just, you know, poor farmers. You know, they lived well, they had plenty to eat, but they never had any money. That's what I always heard. They had plenty to eat, you know, but they never had any money. And that's the way that my mother and my dad grew up. You know, and then mother and dad left the farm, and they didn't want to be farmers. And, my dad was with Texas Gas for 38 years. But anyway, we had wonderful Christmases, wonderful Christmases. I got pretty much probably every single thing I ever wanted, you know, for Christmas. Within reason, you know. And then, you know, getting older, that's wonderful, being a child and such. But, you know, I can remember feeling like a kind of a boredom entering into my heart. You know, I mean, it wasn't all of the surprises as it was, you know, when you were a little child. You know, and I'm talking about entering into teenage years and such and going on and just, you know, thinking and feeling odd about that. I mean, my gosh, you know, it's Christmas and I feel kind of, you know, like, you know, big deal, right? You know, but then something happened to me. And then what happened to me was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and you know, then everything changed. It changed. You know, here I was now in a renewed emphasis and a different emphasis and actually a deeper meaning of emphasis, which is about Jesus because He had become so personal to me. And I want to say that as we begin, that when we talk about the gift of Jesus, and we talk about the great love of God, and that's why Jesus was given, because of the love of Almighty God. What a wonderful, incredible, redeeming gift that the Lord Jesus is to you and I. Now, I want you to know that no matter where you are, no matter how many years you've known the Lord, I want you to know that the Lord wants to take you into even a deeper place in Him. That He wants to take you into a deeper knowledge. I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm not talking about an intellectual knowledge. Yes, you grow intellectually, but that's a little small part of it. It's in spirit. It's in spirit. It's in light. It's in revelation. It's an understanding. It really is by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus being made known to you. That is an incredible thing, an absolutely incredible thing. You know, and that's the real wonderful blessing of Christmas, that no matter what age you might be, no matter how many Christmases that you've had, you know, that did something to me, that personal fellowship, that personal life, that personal reality in my life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just made Christmas new again, even though, you know, there were no more surprises and I wasn't a little kid anymore. And as I wrote in that letter, you know, that's how Christmas stays young in your heart. All the years of your life, you know, everything changes. Life changes. Loved ones go on and be with the Lord. Children, they grow up. Grandchildren grow up and the like. You get older and the like. And everything changes. It's different. But you don't have to be filled with sadness. And I have to say, because of where I work, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of sadness. I see people stuck in the past. And I'm grateful for the past. But you don't have to be stuck in the past. You know, and that's the wonderful thing about Jesus. You know, because where we're going, if you know the Lord, we're headed to eternity, glory to God. You know, it's just not a matter of that, oh, okay, well, we lived our life and this is when it was good, you know, and now, well, praise God, because I'd rather go to heaven than I would go to hell. So, you know, we'll go to heaven, you know, But I'm going to tell you, that's where it's going to really get exciting. I'm telling you that right now. That's when it's really going to get exciting, because we're not going to be sitting around bored, wondering what we're going to do, you know, for all eternity. Oh, Lord, here comes more of eternity. What are we going to do now? It's not going to be like that in any form or fashion. Right now, this life, the way you live it, determines on your eternal destiny. Make your eternal destiny the eternal life that has been offered in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He has given to you. He's got great plans for those that have loved Him all the days of their life. And no matter if you go through trials and troubles, no matter if you go through sufferings, I'm telling you right now, stay faithful unto the Lord. Remain faithful to God no matter what you face, no matter what you go through. Because whatever you face or whatever you go through, I'm telling you now, it will be worth every little bit of it when you get up into heaven and be with the Lord. And then one day also, praise God, for those that have gone on before you that have known the Lord, that you will be reunited with them one day. Isn't that an amazing thing? Heaven's going to be an amazing place, I'm telling you right now. An amazing place. There's assignments in heaven. I didn't mean to get off on heaven, but every time I talk about heaven or look at it and think about it, it just makes me so excited. You know, it's not just simply the alternative to me. You know, oh, glory to God. It's the grand blessing. It's the grand blessing. You know, so be faithful. Be faithful. And no matter if life has changed in your life, if you're not celebrating Christmas the way that you used to, you don't have to live in the past. You don't have to live in depression. It's not the will of God that you do so. You know, it's the will of God that you love the Lord and celebrate Jesus. I can tell you right now, just so you know, that every one of your loved ones that have gone on and be with the Lord, I want you to know that they're celebrating wonderfully. That's what they're doing right now. They're celebrating wonderfully. And they would want you to celebrate. They would not want you to lounge around in depression and woes as me and the like and pining away because things are not the way that they used to be. Put Jesus first. Put Jesus in His rightful place. Dig deeper into Jesus and let Him fill your heart this Christmas. Praise His great and mighty and holy name. I'm going to read here in Luke, and this is in the second chapter. I'll read and I'll make some comments about it. But it says in verse 1, it says, "Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus." And I want you to notice that this was a decree that took place by Caesar Augustus. I want you to know that what was going on, he was not a saved man. He was not a covenant man. He was a worldly man. He was not a godly man. And so this decree went out, and it went out by him that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And I want you to see something that's happening right here. I want you to know that when God decides to move, that there's just absolutely nothing in the world that can stand in His way. You know, it had been prophesied clear back into Isaiah, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of years before the coming of the Lord Jesus, that the Messiah would be coming out of Bethlehem. But I want you to see that what God has done here, that He moved in men that didn't even know Him. He moved in situations. He moved in circumstances. When God says it's time to move, there's nothing in the world that can stand and stop it. I pray that we'll take great confidence in that. There's a great confidence of faith that causes us to enter into a rest of the Lord. Will you commit your way to Him? Will you commit your life to Him? Will you commit your circumstances to Him? Will you trust in the Lord? Will you walk with the Lord, even when you might be walking in some uncomfortable places in your life? You may be waiting upon something. You may be wondering about something. You may have questions before the Lord about this and about that, but that's not the issue whatsoever. The issue, will you be faithful? Will you be faithful? Will you call upon the name of the Lord? Will you believe upon the name of the Lord? Will you commit your life? Will you commit your way to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you walk with Him? And will you trust with Him through the thick, through the thin, no matter what comes, no matter what the suffering might be, no matter what the surprises may be? Where will you be? Where will you walk in the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the big question, because I want to tell you right now, He knows how to move in your life, okay? He knows how to move out every obstacle. He knows how to remove every hindrance. He knows how to move in men. He moved in this man and all of the senses in order to bring about the fulfillment of that which had been prophesied long and long ago. Glory to His holy name. Verse 5 goes on and says, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. Well, I'm going to stop there for just a minute. I want you to come right over here. Just turn the page, if you don't mind, because I just got to read this. This is in Luke chapter 1. And then here, come on down here in verse 26. And this is about Mary. I tell you, I'm just stand in awe of Mary and stand in awe of what God did. And again, I want to say it to you, when God decides to move, when I say decides to move, when it's the right time to move, when it's the right time, will you believe upon and will you trust in the timing of the Lord? Will you trust in the timing of the Lord? Will you let Him prove in you whatever He's wanting to prove? Because it's not just simply about your circumstances. You understand that, right? You know, when we find ourselves in distasteful situations and circumstances, it's not just simply about changing your circumstances. No, it's first and foremost about changing you. Someone might say, well, what's wrong with me? It's not the point. It has nothing to do with the point. And the point has to do with the inheritance that you have in Him, being made like Him, Him moving the things and the forces out of your life that are not like Him, things that are hindering you and keeping many blessings from coming your way that you don't even see or even aware of, but he knows them all. That's why when we're in the middle of situations and circumstances that are of a distasteful nature, that we give glory to God and we say, Lord, I believe on you and I'm going to be faithful. And even if like everything was going my way, I'm still going to be faithful. I'm going to love the Lord with all of my heart. I'm going to love the Lord with all of my vigor, with everything in me, just as if everything in life was just wonderful and grand. Oh, what wonderful proving that God is doing in your life. What wonderful proving that he is doing. That what he's doing is bringing you up higher in him, bringing you to a place where you may behold him. I tell you, that's been to me such a sweetness. Is the Lord revealing himself to me and letting me know him. You know, and it doesn't matter how much he lets me know him and behold of him, he always has more to reveal. There's always more of the depth of him that he wants to make known to you. And the whole bottom line is because he loves you, right? Because he loves you. And you know, that's the thing about love. It's hard for us to get it in our heart and our mind. But you know, what it is all about because of the love of God is so that you and I can walk in a communion and a living fellowship with him, that we can have fellowship with the living God. That's what we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all because of the gift of Jesus. It's the gift of Jesus. Here's that word here in Luke and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, and to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, because it had been promised through David that he would have a descendant that would sit on his throne forever. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, can you imagine? You know, the Lord chose his vessel, and he's got a choosing for each and every single one of you. Us. You have an assignment, and that's the purpose of your life. You must seek his face. Whether you don't know the Lord, come to know him. If you do know the Lord, seek his face. It's not simply, I tell you, there's a lot of weirdness and twistedness in American Christianity. You need to know that. And it's really the way Christian style Christianity is all about me, right? You know, it's all about me. You know, well, that's what Christianity's about. It's about what I can get from God. You know, and this is not true. This is a false narrative, and that's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. It's about him, first and foremost, because he's God Almighty. Are you understanding that? You know, it's about him. And it's about giving our lives to him and offering ourselves to be the servant of the Lord. For him to have his will. For him to have his way. For us to be his vessels. To be his instruments. It's not simply about what God can do for me. You know what the most ironic part about all of that? Is that he'll do great things for you and me. And he has many blessings in store for you. And the abundance of the promises of God that he will fulfill and continue to fulfill all the days of our life, to where our lives and our relationship with him and all in general will just become greater, better, and sweeter as life goes on. Oh, we won't look back and say, oh, if I could just have the glory days again. You know, oh, if I was 32 years old again. I don't want to be 32 years old again. Number one. But glory to God. You know, he has life for us till the very moment that we go on and be with him in eternity. I'm going to say that again because some of you really need to grasp it. and that is that he has the blessing of life for you and me to the very day that we go on to be with him throughout all eternity. Oh, my goodness, so here it comes. And then it went on in verse 29, but she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. Well, I guess it was a great surprise. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor in God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" Well, you can just about imagine, you know, that this defied all logical understanding, didn't it? But I want to take a moment so that you and I will understand the importance of the virgin birth. The importance of the virgin birth to you and I as Christians, and the why that Jesus had to be born of a virgin. Number one is that he was clothed all with flesh and blood because he was born in the flesh. But he was conceived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason for that is so that he would not have the sin nature of Adam. When you were born, your mother and your father, your forefathers, was Adam and Eve. And all those born in the flesh were born separated from God in what's called original sin. We were born as sinners in need of a Savior. When Jesus was born, he did not have the seed of Adam within him, and he did not have the sin nature. The point to that is that he was now the perfect sacrifice for the sins of men, because the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could never take away sins. They could only do what was called atonement. Atonement came about, and that means to cover. And it covered their sins, and it gave appeasement to God, but it did not wipe away sin. Jesus came as the gift of God so that you and I could be free from sin. That doesn't mean that you won't ever sin again, but it does mean that you don't have a heart after sin, that you have a heart after God. Now, you don't want the old way. You don't want the flesh. You don't want the world. You don't want those old things. You want new things. And those new things are all found in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he gives you a new heart. You don't go changing yourself. You don't go declaring that I'll do better. Well, let me tell you one of the greatest lies that people open up their eyes in hell with, this lie. And that is they, "Well, I know I need to come to Jesus, but I got to get that out of my life first. I got to change that first. I got to do that first. I got to kind of clean up a little bit. Well, let me stop that. Well, when I get victory over that, or when I stop doing that, then I'll come to Jesus." No, you just bought into the biggest lie that is told to mankind, and you will open your eyes up in hell waiting to make yourself better, because that was not the way of the Lord. He never wanted you to try to clean yourself up. He wanted you just as the way that you are. And if you come before the Lord and you commit your whole heart to him, I'm telling you right now, he will do it. He'll clean you up, and he'll do in you what you never could ever do. And more than that will come your way. All he wants is you. That's all he wants. He just wants you. And if you'll come before him in earnest of heart and say, "Yes, Lord," you don't even have to fully know what that means. You really don't. All you have to do it is with genuineness and just mean it in your heart with all that you know. And if you do that, you say, "Yes, Lord, I receive Jesus. I receive the gift to cleanse me of my sins. Receive the gift that gives me the gift of righteousness." And that's what it is. It's called the gift of righteousness. Will you receive him today? Will you receive him today? Will you walk out of here knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you belong to Jesus? You belong to him. That's why right now I'd like all the saints to pray with me. And if you want to give your heart to Jesus, don't hold off any longer. Don't wait to get cleaned up. God doesn't want you to wait. Well, what about this? Or I'm afraid. I'm afraid I can't do it. That's another lie out of the pit of hell, because he's not asking you to do it. He's not just love him. Just commit to love him. Just commit to love him. Just commit, I'll follow him. I'll follow him. That's all. That's it. That's it. I'll follow him. I'll follow him. I don't even know what it means, but it's better than what I've had. It's better than what I've had. All right? And watch him move in your life in a great and a mighty way, and you will live a life like you've never dreamed. He'll set you on high in so many ways that you will give praise and glory to him. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I confess Jesus today as my Lord and my Savior. I hold nothing back. All of me is his. I receive forgiveness, and I thank you that today, now, that I believe in you, and you are my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you gave your heart to the Lord, and you've never given your heart to the Lord, or you give your heart in a new way, okay, then you need to tell somebody before you leave here. You need to tell somebody. You need to be open about it. You need to not be afraid to walk in it. And you will see God do great and mighty things. He says that if you will not confess me before men, then I will not confess you before my heavenly Father. So this is not a secret thing. This is not a secret thing. This is what we do openly and publicly as the command of God. The command of God. And then as we go on, we see right here, and she says, how can this be? In verse 35 says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. You know, that must have been very, very difficult things to comprehend and to conceive. Matter of fact, I don't really see how any person could really fully comprehend what was being said. But she was willing. And that's all that it takes to go forward in the Lord, is to have a willingness of heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some of you are afraid to go forward. You're afraid to commit certain things to God. You're afraid to let go of certain things for your fear of failure, your fear that you won't be able to walk it through, that you won't be able to accomplish it. All you've got to have is a willing heart. That's all you need, is a willing heart. And if you give to God a willing heart, he will do great and mighty things in you. And he will bring the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to accomplish what you're too weak to be able to accomplish under your own power or your own strength. Will you give him a willing heart this morning? Will you give him a willing heart as you come into 2025? What is your 2025 going to be like? What is your walk in Jesus going to be like? Are you going to go forward in the Lord in 2025? Are you going to press in with more than you've ever pressed in before? Are you going to commit to him? Are you going to let him have his way? Will you let him glorify his name in your life? He'll raise you. He will anoint you. He will call you. He will establish you. He will bless you, and He will use you. When you thought, you're kidding me, right? That God's going to use me? Really? I mean, are you really kidding me? Because so many people are bound to only what they can see or understand, and they can't see anything else. And the one thing they count out is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they all base it upon talents. Well, you know, well, I'm not a speaker, or I'm not this, or whatever it would be. It hasn't got anything to do with your talents. It's the power of God. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not what you're talented to do, and that's how you serve God. He may use your talents in serving God and all those things, but even in that, He brings the power of the Holy Spirit to bring it up to a supernatural level that is filled with the presence of the Lord. And whatever you do, I don't care what it is, you're blessing others in His name. Willing. Will you be willing? Will you make that the what you give to God in 2025 as we're moving so quickly in that way? Well, let me finish this up right here, that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Here's verse 36, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. Isn't that an amazing thing? And you know what I find so amazing? As amazing it is that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit so He would not have the seed of Adam. So therefore, He was a new man. That's why Jesus is called the last Adam. He's not the second, okay? He's the last Adam. Adam means first or federal head. And He's the first of among many brethren, according to the word of the Lord. You know, we come into the kingdom of God. We become a new creation. And then the Spirit of God begins to move in our lives to make us like Him as we have inherited. Oh, isn't that glorious? Praise the name of the Lord. But here's John. Can you imagine? Now, he did still have that sin nature. He was conceived, okay, naturally. He was conceived naturally. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. You know, we don't think about the sacrifice of John. When he got of age, he went out into the wilderness. He didn't go out there laying around on the sand dunes drinking Coca-Colas and eating cheese crackers. Right? You know, he was seeking the Lord and letting the Lord have His way. Many times that God has a preparation time. All right? I want you to hear that. He has a preparation. And it's not that He doesn't use you during that preparation time, but He has a preparation time for that ultimate purpose, will, and calling of God. Many of you are going to come into it here in 2025. Oh, He's got good things planned. Verse 37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. My goodness. I mean, what a courageous soul, huh? What a courageous soul. And because God knew how willing she was. How willing she was. You know, can you imagine being in that situation? We like to read the story. The story is one thing. I have a feeling that the reality for Mary was a little bit different. Don't you? And not only for Mary, for Joseph, for them all, right? And that's one of the great things that, you know, that happens in Christianity and always been a part of Christianity is being misunderstood, okay? Being misunderstood, all right? You think that they weren't a little bit misunderstood? But let it be according to your word to your bondservant. There's that willing spirit, that willing heart Well, let's go back and I'll finish this. If you'll come on down back here in chapter 2. In chapter 2, it goes on and it says this in verse 6, and it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I want you to hear that. I'll just say a couple of words about it. Why is that in the Bible? Why is that in the Bible? There's no room for them in the inn. But they were really, they were in a barn. This was the plan and the purpose of Almighty God. And that when Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was born, he wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't even born in the inn. He was born in the barn among the animals. You couldn't get any lower of a start than the way that Jesus started in the earth. And so there's no one in all of life that can ever say, well, you know, no one understands me. No one has experienced what I've experienced. No one's gone through what I've gone through. I want to tell you that there is one that does understand. There's one that came lower as low can get, lower than anybody can come into this world, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't coming into the world among kings and queens and being celebrated around the nobility. He came into the lives of those that the world would say that are insignificant. Those that the world would say that they're just the common folks. They're the ordinary people. And that's the ones that he first made himself known to. Verse 8 says, in the same region there was some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you imagine? And they were terribly frightened. I imagine that it was truly a great surprise. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all of the people. Not just for the great, not just for the rich, not just for the noble, but for all the people. Verse 11 says, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And look what happened. I know we've read it many times. Verse 13, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Can you imagine that? Here were the angels appearing to these shepherds, and they were singing, and they were making proclamation, and then, woo, then all of a sudden came a multitude of the host of heaven. To mere shepherds. These weren't the rich people. You understand? He wants to make himself known to us all. And then finally, summing up in 13 again, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Now, I want you to notice this, because a lot of times in church it's misquoted, and it says, on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. You don't have a right to that peace outside of him, because this peace is only found in him. There's no peace that comes on the earth, okay, because we've come into Christmas season. And a lot of people smirk at that in their hearts, because we talk about peace, right? It's the will of God, peace on earth. But peace on earth is found in him. It's found in him. This peace is not peacefulness. This peace is a peace even in the chaos. Even in the chaos. That's, you know, and I'm going to close with this. That's the wonderful thing that I found when I gave my whole heart to Jesus, was that he brought a peace that was hard to describe. And it had nothing to do with situations and circumstances. I'm going to tell you a secret to life, and then I'll close. You know what a secret to life is? Is that everybody in their own way tries to find a place to belong. It's sad that some people chase after that all their life, trying to belong. Where do I belong? Maybe I belong here, maybe I belong there. And they go here and they do this and they do that all along, and all that they chase after, there's this yearning in their heart that sometimes they don't even really know how to describe about themselves. I will describe it for you. You have a longing to belong. You have a longing within you, and nothing externally will ever make you feel that you belong. You may for a moment, you may for a season, you may for a time, but it will pass. And the reason is because you were made to belong to Him. And that will never be fulfilled ever in your life until you make the decision to belong to Jesus. Amen.